Hello and welcome to this short version of the Web Talk for Sunday the 20th of June. As you listen to this, it is my hope and my prayer that you'll be blessed, encouraged, and that God will be glorified. Let us begin by reading from God's Word to declutter our minds and focus upon God. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but cast the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful music, praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. These words taken from Psalm 147 remind us of God's praiseworthiness, of his power and provision. So let us do as the psalmist beckons us, and let us praise him as we come together. Let us come before him now in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we lift up our voices and hearts in prayer to you, we thank you that we do so in the full assurance that we are heard by you. It's an amazing thought, Lord, that we can speak with you, our Creator, through Christ our Redeemer. We don't have to be someone special. We don't have to have achieved something worthy of note. We don't have to have some special ability. Anyone can call upon your great name. Thank you, O Lord, for this immense privilege. As we consider this, we recognize that it is all the more amazing when we consider who you are and who we are by comparison. You are faithful whilst we are prone to be unfaithful. You are just whilst we are biased. You are almighty whilst we are weak. You are patient whilst we are impatient. You are merciful whilst we are spiteful. You are slow to anger whilst we are quick-tempered. You are forgiving whilst we are not. And you are holy whilst we are sinful. Heavenly Father, though we sin in thought, word and deed, by the things that we do and the things that we don't do, we have the arrogance to believe that we are actually not that bad, and therefore we are entitled to your forgiveness. Forgive us, O Lord, we pray. Forgive us for all the things we have, all the times we have not acknowledged our sin and humbly sought your forgiveness. Help us, O Lord, this day to do so. If we have not already done so, help us, O Lord, to put our faith in Christ this day, so that we who are unrighteous can be made righteous in your sight. Hear this our prayer, O Lord. For in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. And I want to read to you from God's Word. So if you have your Bibles at hand, can I encourage you to open them at our reading, which is taken from Genesis chapter 39, where we will begin reading from verse 1 and read all the way through to chapter 40 and verse 4. So Genesis chapter 39, beginning at verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favour in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her, or even to be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there, in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favour in the eyes of the prison warder. So the warder put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. And we end our reading there at the first part of verse 4, and thank God for this reading from his truth. Now we will look at this passage a little bit more, or in a little bit more detail. Joseph is another popular biblical character, even in secular circles, given the musical about him. But there is much more to Joseph than his amazing technicolor dream coat. What he should be really noted for is his amazing faith in God. The story of Joseph begins back in chapter 37 of Genesis, where we learn that as a young man of just 17, though he was loved by his father, he was hated by his brothers. Such was their hatred of him that when the opportunity presented itself, they seized him and sold him into slavery. Stripped of his clothing, privilege and identity, Joseph went from being a person to a possession, the household slave of Potiphar. But despite Joseph being engulfed by such tragedy, we are told in verse 2 of chapter 39 that the Lord was with him. Even though Joseph's brothers had rejected him and his existence had turned into the stuff of nightmares, God had not abandoned him. He was dead to his brothers and believed dead by his father, but he was not so to God, who, despite appearances, remained with him. Of course, from a human perspective, Joseph could have been forgiven for thinking otherwise. As a result, he could have become bitter and resentful towards God. He could have physically or metaphorically shaken his fist at God and shouted, "I have tried my best to honour you, God, and this is all the thanks that I get. So I'll forget about you, and I'll live my life as I see fit." But he didn't. He could also have collapsed in on himself, as it were, and immersed himself in a world of woe is me self-pity. But he didn't. He could have become resentful towards his fellow human beings, especially his master, Potiphar. But he didn't. Instead, as we know, he worked diligently at whatever he was tasked with. This in turn earned him the respect and trust of Potiphar, who put him in charge of everything he had. Joseph's faith in God was quite simply amazing. He did not use his personal circumstances as a gauge by which to measure God's faithfulness towards him. Nor did he let those circumstances colour his opinion of God. To put it another way, he did not view God through his circumstances. This reminds us that our personal circumstances are not a reflection of God's character, least of all his faithfulness. Life may be tough. It may be disappointing and bitter, as it were. But that does not mean that as his children through faith in Christ, he has failed us or abandoned us. Satan would have us think like this, but his word is not the one we ought to listen to. God's word, the Bible, is full of his promises to his people to be with them, come what may. And those are the promises we need to remind ourselves of when life bites us hard, as it were. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not suggesting that in the midst of his suffering, Joseph was not upset and confused by the turn of events that engulfed him. I am sure that he asked God why such things had happened to him, and for God to fix it. But at the same time, he did not walk away from God, as it were. So you see, it is not wrong of us to come before God with questions about things that upset or confuse us. After all, some of the Psalms can record heartfelt questions that the psalmist put to God when he was beset with situations that plunged his life into darkness. Those questions are sometimes hard-hitting, but they never verge into the territory of accusing God of being unloving, unjust, or unfaithful. In other words, they are never posed in such a way so as to imply that God is being untrue to his character. That is why the Psalms are such a valuable resource for us, because they show us how we can reverently ask questions of God when we are struggling to deal with the circumstances of life. They are, if you like, the template God has given to us to use as we come before him when we are finding life tough. So Joseph remained faithful to God, and as we know, his diligence earned him the trust of Potiphar, who gave him responsibility for everything except the food that he ate. Life as a slave could not get any better than this, but then things took another turn for the worst. Joseph's good looks and honed physical stature soon caught the eye of Potiphar's wife, who decided she would like to sleep with him. So she asked Joseph to come to bed with her, but he refused, telling her that it would not only be a betrayal of his master's trust, but that it was also a sin against God. Once again, we see the integrity of Joseph's faith on display. Joseph could quite easily have given in to Potiphar's wife, because not to do so could make life difficult for him, as it inevitably did so. Scholars tell us that such a thing was not uncommon in slave-owning societies, so he could have told himself that it was no big deal, and that in the long run it would be actually advantageous for him. Human logic suggested that if he had the favour of his master and his master's wife, life could only improve. But Joseph did not listen to human logic. He knew such a thing was sinful, therefore he refused. But Potiphar's wife wouldn't take no for an answer, because day after day she tried to entice him, and day after day Joseph refused. He even took active measures to try and avoid the temptation that it no doubt was. Joseph's actions here are a good example to all of us in our struggle with sin. Firstly, Joseph recognized that though a sin may be hidden from others, it is not so from God. He recognized that because God is all-seeing and all-knowing, each and every sin we commit is done in the holy presence of God. As the psalmist says, "Does he who implanted the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see?" And as Proverbs teaches us, a man's ways are in full view of the Lord. So though we think we can keep sin a secret, we are only kidding ourselves, because God knows all about it. Secondly, then, Joseph recognized that every sin is ultimately against God. It is, in effect, us telling God that he is wrong, that we know better than him, and that we can judge for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. In effect, it is us telling God that we can do without him. Needless to say, that is arrogance, not humility, which is the antithesis of anyone who knows and loves the Lord. Then thirdly, Joseph took active measures to try and avoid the allure of sin. He tried to avoid being in the presence of Potiphar's wife so as to prevent the temptation which he knew would be inevitable. This, of course, should be a trademark principle for all who profess to have given their lives to Christ. We should seek to avoid sin, even the temptation of it, were at all possible. Joseph was indeed successful at avoiding the sin of sleeping with his master's wife, but as we know, it resulted in him being falsely accused of rape and thrown into prison. For the second time in his short life, things had taken a turn for the worst for Joseph. He was once more the innocent victim of an outrageous injustice. But even this did not destroy his faith in God. It may have shaken it to its foundations, but it did not topple it. Even in the grimness of prison, Joseph's faith remained intact. Now, as we know, Joseph's story doesn't end there, because he went on to become, in effect, the Prime Minister of Egypt. But as we consider his story, we see that as difficult as it was for him during the 13 years he spent as a slave and then a prisoner, it was all part of God's greater plan to fulfill his promise to Abraham. Had Joseph not been languishing in prison, he would never have met Pharaoh's cupbearer, who some two years later was able to tell Pharaoh that Joseph could interpret his dreams. After that, Joseph in effect became the saviour of his people. Centuries later, a greater Joseph would willingly choose to forgo his privileged life to endure hardship. He too would remain faithful to God, though he was mistreated, sold for a pittance, have false allegations made about him, and suffer a great injustice. He too would descend into the depths, from which he too would emerge as the saviour of his people. His name was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he did all of this because it was God's plan to fulfill his promise to provide us with the means by which we can be saved. Now, following Christ may not be easy, but he never said it would be. Unlike Joseph, our suffering may endure for a lifetime, but ultimately, through faith in Christ, we will be lifted out of the dungeon of death to live in the glories of heaven. It is that promise which can keep us going even in the darkest of circumstances. So you see, Christ really is our hope in life and our only hope in death. Let us once again pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how the story of Joseph reminds us that we should never view you through our circumstances, that we should never let them colour our opinion of you. Help us to recognise that whilst our circumstances can and do change, you do not. Help us to recognise that even though our circumstances may be intolerable, your love for us is steadfast and always will be. And in recognising that, O Lord, help us to draw comfort and strength from that great truth. Heavenly Father, we continue to remember our nation before you at this time. Heavenly Father, we seek your forgiveness because as a nation we have turned our backs upon you, the results of which are now so evident in our society. In recent weeks, O Lord, our government has legalised the murder of innocent unborn children in the womb here in Northern Ireland, and all in the name of choice. So whilst as a nation we have rightly seen the valiant efforts of our NHS to save people infected with COVID-19, we think nothing of taking the lives of unborn children whose only offence was to be conceived. Forgive us, O Lord, for the sake of those unborn children and the women who have to live with the consequences of their actions. We pray, Lord, that this legislation would be changed so that it places equal value on the lives of mothers and their unborn children. That's where in our nation, O Lord, we see the exploitation of people in the name of economics. As long as we can get something cheap, as long as our standard of living is not affected, we don't care if others have to live on or below the poverty line. Forgive us, O Lord, and rid us as a nation of this corporate greed. These are just two examples, O Lord, of many evils that have beset our nation because we have turned our backs upon you. Forgive us, O Lord, for our folly, and rescue us from the perilous path that we have chosen to walk. Finally, O Lord, we pray that we as your church would be effective as your ambassadors here on earth in this nation. Help us to be salt and light wherever we live and whatever stage of life we are at. Help us to bring glory to your great name. These things we ask, O Lord, in Christ's glorious name. Amen. Now we come to the close of our service, and I will close in the traditional manner by saying the benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And may the blessing of God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you always. Amen.